Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today we're going to talk about strategies that we're going to take with our next webinar. And what's kind of unique about this episode is that we haven't really talked about this yet. So we're going to be formulating our strategy here live on the podcast.
I hope we can get along.
Yeah, so first off, and Tony brought up this topic, what is wrong with the current way that we're doing things right now?
Well, is this where I get to spill my list of grievances?
Yes, go for it.
Well, we've experimented with a bunch of different things. We've tried one-day webinars. So we have one webinar, and it lasts, you know, about 2 hours. And then there's like an email sequence that follows that up with obviously a push to buy the course. We've tried a full week. So I think we've done 5 days before, haven't we?
No, I think the most we did was four.
Okay.
Yeah, because so you don't want to do Fridays, if I recall.
That's right. I don't want to be doing a webinar at 7 p.m. on Friday.
Right.
Yes. When someone else is
finishing. Because you have a life.
When someone else is finishing at 4 p.m. Well, I like to eat dinner, do things like that. So we've done 4 days. We've done week-long webinar. We've actually done 5 days, and we've started on Sunday. Do you remember that? We've started on Sunday night and gone to Thursday.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, Sunday
was
like our...
I don't work on Sundays.
We did intro, like a 15-minute, like...
Oh, okay. That doesn't count. Okay, fine.
Well, that's still 5 days. So we've done 5 days. We've done 4 days. We've done 3 days. So we've done all sorts of different things. And typically in our webinars, we cover a large variety of topics. So we cover, in the latest sort of version, we've been covering SEO, Pinterest, social media, email marketing, monetization. Is there another one? I think that's it.
Yeah. Did you say search already? You did,
so,
right?
Oh, yes. SEO. Yeah. If I didn't, yeah. I should have added that. So that's been our current model, where we cover a huge amount of topics and we cram. I mean, so I think our slide deck for these webinars is 80 plus slides per night or afternoon. So you and I have been talking about how to improve them and make them better. And I think one of the things that I've realized over the past month or so is that we're teaching way too much information. And you and I both have this philosophy that we give as much as we can. And I believe this to be true. The more you give to people, the more people will want to follow you and learn from you when you give a lot of free stuff away. Because the thought behind that is, if this is what we're giving away for free, think of how much more we're going to teach you in the paid version. But what I think is happening, and I would say like our webinars are not flopping, but I think what's happening is people are very overwhelmed because we're teaching so much information in such a short period of time.
Yeah. I mean, on the flip side, this is the MO that I've been using for my other class for years. Actually, for the last 2 years, I should say.
Years and years.
Well, it's more than one, right?
Yes.
And it's been working well because they're enticed to sign up for the class to figure out all the little details and you know, have unlimited time to implement everything that I've taught.
Well, here's why I think it works for a profitable online store. I think it works for a profitable online store because when you are trying to sell physical products online, there is truly a step-by-step formula that you need to take to do that. You have to research your product if you don't have that already. You have to figure out how to source your product. And you can't really do those out of order. You can't source a product that you don't know what you're selling. You can't put something on Amazon if you don't have it. So everything is very orderly in profitable online store. When you are trying to build a content site or create content and build an audience, there are a million different ways you can do it. And outside of like getting your website set up, once you've done that, the order that you go can be anything, right? I mean, obviously there's like foundational pieces like content creation, but you know, maybe you just have your website as a landing page, right? And you're really going to focus on making YouTube videos, or maybe you're going to focus on having a podcast, or maybe you're going to do one piece of content a week and your email list is going to be your biggest driver of traffic because you're going to create lead magnets or a mini course, or maybe you want to set up a membership site, right? So once you do that very first initial step with the building an audience, which is creating your website, you can go in a million different directions.
Right. So to summarize what you just said, content is more open-ended.
Yeah, and I think there's not a definite start point outside of like website creation.
That's probably true. I would agree with that.
And a lot of people, I think, already have a website that we have in our webinars and that are on our email list. A lot of people already have the website set up. Maybe they have a store and they have a blog for the store, but they don't know the next steps in building that audience or driving traffic. And so depending on what path they choose, it looks very different.
Well, let's talk about what we're doing right now. So we did, I guess, according to you, 5 days. I don't remember that one.
Five long and arduous days.
There's 4 days, 3 days. I didn't see any difference between 5 days and 3 days, to be honest with you.
I didn't either. Although yeah. I did feel like on the 3 days, so I think the negative of the 3 days is we had to cut slides for the 3 days. We had to cut information. And so I felt like people were a little confused. I mean, you even told me at the end of the Pinterest one that like, hey, that was just that was too much information in one sitting because I had to cut some of the like pieces that made other pieces make sense.
Okay, interesting. I know the last one that we did together was actually 4 days where we tried to combine e-commerce and content. But there were some variables there where I'm not sure. Like I ended up selling actually a decent amount of profitable online store, but profitable audience didn't get as much love. And then we didn't sell as many course bundles. I think it was just kind of disjointed, right?
Well, I think there was. We talked about this on another podcast episode.
Yeah. So we had the heckler.
We had the heckler. We were trying out something new. I mean, the reality is like when we do it that way, profitable online store gets promoted all 4 days, whereas profitable audience only gets promoted on the 2 days. So I think there's a lot of different things involved there that there's too many variables to say this is why it didn't work. But I definitely don't think it's something that we should do again.
Yeah, I think everything needs to be marketed separately.
Yeah.
With that being said, what's the new strategy? So what would you change about the way we do profitable audience?
So interestingly enough, at Seller Summit a couple weeks ago, I had a conversation with our friend Chase Diamond, who does email marketing. And he's been running some webinars and more like virtual events, but the whole goal is to sell at the end, right? So it's basically the same thing. He's just branding it a little bit differently. And he was talking to me one of the networking events about how he did a free like webinar series in the fall, and he did well. But then in the 2022, he's been running paid webinar series, and they've actually been converting significantly better. Plus, he's making the money off of the paying to actually watch the webinar. Now, the pricing on to pay to watch the webinar is really low. I want to say the one I saw from him the other day was like $9 or something.
I see.
So, the barrier to entry, it's just enough of a barrier to entry to make people feel a little more, make sure you get people that are a little more serious. And I think one of the things that he told me was the attendance rate live for people for the paid version is significantly better than the free version.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah,
totally. I'm just trying to think. My attendance numbers are about 30% right now for mm-hmm. the people who sign up. I would imagine if you pay money, you're going to attend, right?
Yeah.
Even if it's like a dollar.
Yeah.
No, a dollar. Yeah, psychologically.
I know, but a dollar is like, do we want to hassle with a dollar? You know what I mean?
Well,
but
if I'm paying $5 for something, let's just say, I'll be there. But maybe that's just me.
To me, a dollar, I would be like, I don't have time. But I just did I attended a paid webinar last week and it was $37, and you better believe I showed up because $37 is that's a meal at Chick-fil-A. So for two people.
So what is the right price point then? So you mentioned Chase did $9, you said?
Yeah, I think $9 to probably $29 between that range is probably a fair number. Now, I will say, like, what are you giving people? Well, so one of the things that we talked about was if we switch to a paid model, I think my belief is that we have to change up the actual webinar. Because what I think is crappy to do to people is say, okay, this is a webinar that we've given for free for 2.5 years, and now you're going to pay for it.
Right. It should be new material, but I mean, just watching what other people have been doing, and you mentioned this earlier about teaching too much, I think we would just go with one very focused topic and go into depth on it, right? And that would be the new thing.
So that's what we had been talking about before this whole paid concept came up was instead of doing, and actually, let me pull up my notes app because I have notes on it.
Wait, what? It's on a digital device and not Post-it notes?
Yes, because I was somewhere else.
Okay.
So we talked about doing specific topics as opposed to covering everything. So my notes were, I did June through January of like webinars to do. So I did email marketing, copywriting, selling an online course, affiliate marketing, YouTube, TikTok, live video. So like a video one. And then repeating email marketing and then setting goals and time management.
Well, those were a lot. Would those be all separate?
So those are all separate webinars.
Oh, okay. And so we just mix them up throughout the year, you mean?
Yeah. So like June is email marketing, July is copywriting, August is online course. Obviously, it doesn't have to, like the months don't matter. But then, except for January, which I said was setting goals and time management, which I do think actually matters in January because people are more interested in that kind of stuff. And then after like February, they don't care anymore. But so our first thought that we had a month and a half ago or whatever was instead of doing these webinars that cover a wide variety of topics, we do a webinar that covers a single topic because in the course, we cover those topics in depth. So we could easily do a webinar that leads back to the course on a single topic.
So I guess the negative to that would be if you're going in depth on a topic, is that essentially covering that topic like the same way as it's done in the full course?
Well, what the other thing that we've learned lately from watching other webinars is that the information that people give you in a webinar is not super in depth.
Yes, it's, not at all.
It's very high level. Is high level the right word? Yeah, high level is not details.
Yes. Correct. Yeah.
I always get those confused. So yeah, I think that's the other thing is that I think one of the things that, so the reason why webinars convert, in my opinion, is for a couple of reasons. One, they like you. That's probably right. The biggest thing. They connect with you. You resonate with people in a certain way. For us, people like our interactions. People like the fact that like I have strengths, you have strengths. We play off each other and people are attracted to that about us. I think that's one of our biggest selling points and is probably the biggest selling point for a lot of people. I know one of the reasons why I bought B-School from Marie Forleo all those years ago wasn't because I thought Marie Forleo was super successful. I mean, she's very successful, but I connected with how she presented information. I liked how she taught. So it didn't really matter what she was teaching. I mean, outside of I wanted, you know, to figure out how to build a better business, but I connected with her personally. And there's a lot of other people out there who have a very similar product to B-School.
Yes. I mean, actually, they all blend together, to be honest with you.
Yeah. You're like, I have no idea who's who. But it's the same thing for Profitable Online Store, right? There's 20 courses out there that teach you how to sell physical products.
You know, actually, I was looking. There's 20 courses that teach you how to sell on Amazon. Okay. But there actually aren't that many that teach you how to start an e-commerce store.
Yeah. But there still are some. You're not the only one out there.
That's correct. Yes, I'm definitely not the only one out there.
So people connect with you, and then I think they also connect with your style of teaching.
Right. Yeah. No, I would agree with that. Well, so what's funny is the webinar that we just watched was very, in my opinion at least, maybe it's different for the people watching, but it was very thin on content.
Yes.
I thought. So psychologically, is that the way to go? Like, I know if I went to a webinar like the one I just watched, I wouldn't want to buy anything. But am I just not the norm, I guess?
So I think the problem is that you and I are creating something that's valuable to us. But the people that are probably at our level aren't our audience to buy our course because they already know how to do 80% of what we talk about. They're already doing it.
But even if I didn't know anything, I would probably still feel like it was light on the details,
right?
Like the nitty gritty stuff, like the getting your hands dirty part.
Yes. So let's do copywriting as a topic. So we're doing a copywriting course. I mean, we could go through because we have a ton of copywriting lessons in the course. We could get into the nitty gritty of, you know, like you did a lesson a long time ago that people loved. It was sort of like the telling your story or how to, I can't remember the, but people like flipped out over this. Do you remember that talk for office hours?
I do not because they flip out at every talk.
Well, so I know it's hard to keep track, but anyway, you gave a talk that was basically like, it was almost like a finding your voice talk, but there wasn't a lot of like practical details and you didn't like the talk. Do you remember this? And you even told me before you gave the office hours, you're like, oh, this is like a lot of fluff or whatever. So anyway, but people were like, we got crazy feedback on it and how good it was. So I think one of the things is that what we've found in the course is that most people, it's easy to figure out how to do a lot of these things. You can go into ConvertKit's knowledge base. You can go into WordPress. You can watch videos on YouTube. You can get these, like, the very detailed how-tos, how to do things on your website or how to set up a podcast, right? There's tons of resources. But what people need is someone to help them feel like they can do it.
Yes.
And so, like I told you the other day, this webinar we were watching, it wasn't selling what it was selling. It was selling confidence. It was selling the confidence to take this next step and build your business. And so I think that's one thing that we don't do at all. We don't sell any confidence. In fact, if anything, we sell overwhelm. Like,
well, the overwhelm seems to sell.
Well, that's the thing. It's not like we've floundered or flopped. But I always think, like, how do we make this better? And I think when we do the one-on-one consults, when we do all these things, typically most people don't need detailed help on how to do something. They need us to say, you're on the right track. You're doing the right thing. This looks great. Make these two changes and hooray.
That's actually absolutely correct. So whenever I have my consults, which I usually do like one or two every single month, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
We almost, let me just talk about one I just had. This lady had an idea for a product, and I thought it was a pretty good product. It was maybe 60% of the way there. She was about to give up on it. And then, mm-hmm. So we talked about it further, and then I just suggested something very simple that she needed to change about it. And all of a sudden she was excited about it. So I think most of the talk was just validating whether she should actually go through with something because she didn't have the confidence. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah. And we do not do a good job of selling that in our webinars.
I mean, it's funny. Like, if I talk to someone in person, it's like an instant sale.
Yeah.
Which begs the question, like, should we just hire a sales team? I mean, right?
To what? Clone you?
Well, no, just someone who can close the sale and then you just give them a cut. I mean, I think a lot of the bigger courses that are volume, they actually have dedicated sales teams that physically talk to someone.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's beside the point. So when you say that we don't sell confidence, I don't know if that's exactly true, because we in the Q&A, we answer all the questions, and sometimes the questions are like that.
They are. But what I noticed in watching, because I haven't watched a lot of webinars lately. So what I noticed in watching this webinar last week was that it was filled with, I know you can do this.
That's correct.
I believe in you. I'm obsessed with you this week. I'm dedicated to teaching you all week. You are my priority, right? All that terminology, it was so good. Like, it was so good. And even though I was watching it critically, I wasn't watching it to learn anything. I already knew everything that was being taught in the webinar. I was so impressed with the level of, and it was very genuine. It wasn't phony at all, which I've been on webinars where it's super phony and you're like, okay, like, do you remember I don't want to say who it is. Remember the people who used to have those webinars that would go for like 4 and 5 hours?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. So like those seemed a little phony to me after a while. You're like, there's just nothing left to stop. Like, stop it.
I think was all in the delivery.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think we don't do, I mean, we answer people's questions, absolutely, but we don't do a good job of making people feel better about themselves outside of they got the answer to their question.
Okay, so can you give me an example of that? Like, let's say I asked you a question. How would you make me feel good about it?
So one of the things that this webinar we were watching did, and you're going to try this next week, actually, is they brought people on camera on Zoom for a Q&A.
Yes.
Yes, which we'll talk about more in a minute. But one of the things that I noticed is the people would come on camera. They were always very excited / nervous, which I very understandably so, because they're talking to someone that they've been following. And the person would ask their question, and then they would get the response. There would be some back and forth. And then at the end of that, the host would say, I can tell from the tone of your voice how passionate you are about this topic. I can tell from your smile that you're going to be successful. I can tell, like, you know what I mean? It's just, and I'm like, oh, me too. I can tell. Like, I'm like buying in hook, line, and sinker. I don't know this person. But like things like that, which, do you remember, we did this. We brought people on in office hours once for Q&A, which we had never done before. And we brought one of our attendees on, and she said she was nervous to make video because she didn't like the sound of her voice. Do you remember this? Or something like that.
Yeah, of course. And she was great on video.
Yes. And when she said that, and I think Andrea Robinson was on there with us too. She was actually, we were doing a lesson on video. And the three of us were like, what do you mean you don't like how you sound? You sound amazing. You sound friendly. Your smile is very infectious. And as we're saying those things, all genuine, we meant all of it. Did you see her change? Like her face change? She got more happy to be on video. So like we don't do that in our webinars because we don't have it set up to do that, right? We answer questions in the comments and move on.
I mean, we are set up to do that if we wanted to do that.
Well, no, but like our current setup, we're not doing that is what I'm saying.
You know, what's funny is that what happens if someone came on and like they had no chance of like they had no energy and they shouldn't be doing it? What would you say then?
I love how you're like, what if it's the worst person in the world?
I mean, I've had people like that.
Yeah.
In the consults, I've actually given refunds where, just based on our interactions, this isn't for you.
You're like, you are such a miserable soul. Just take
well, it's
take
got
the
nothing to do
back.
With miserable, but just like if they're asking these I rarely ask a question that is just readily Googleable or just something that I could get the mm-hmm. answer for myself right away. Like I would going into a consult with somebody, like if I only have 30 minutes, I'll be prepared with yeah. questions. And sometimes people come on, they're wishy-washy, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I don't think this is for you. I don't know how I would deal with that. Like, I wouldn't be able to say, hey, I see the passion, and you can do this.
You're like, listen, have you thought about working at Walmart? Because they have excellent benefits, or Starbucks has a great college plan. I think you can always find something in everybody. You got to latch onto that one little nugget if possible. And those are the people, like if you bring them on camera to talk and they're really terrible, then you just answer the question and get them off. It's not,
it's true. Yeah.
Move to the next person. You're not committed to like being on camera forever and ever. So anyway, so let's talk about how you're going to do this next week, which is how I want to do this for Profitable Audience as well.
The way I'm doing it next week is kind of like a hybrid, mm-hmm. actually. So I'm still doing it the free model.
Yeah.
But then I have a VIP level where we're just going to hop on Zoom and have a conversation. And it's going to be different than, I think the one that we watched last week, the person got on and answered questions kind of webinar style first and then brought mm-hmm. people on.
Yeah.
This one's going to be just like a Zoom call with everybody. And mm-hmm. I don't think, like if it gets too large, I'm going to keep it small. But mm-hmm. hopefully it'll just be like 10 people maybe.
Yeah.
And it'll be as much learning for me, I think, as it will be for the attendees.
Are you going to bring people on camera?
They're all going to be on. It's going to be like a Zoom call.
Oh, so everyone, you're going to see everybody's face.
You're going to see everyone's face. That's
so
correct.
You're going to know who to call on.
Well, I'm not going to call on anybody. It's going to be like mastermind style.
But, okay, so I don't understand how you're going to do this. So to walk me through it. Everyone logs on to Zoom.
Everyone logs on to Zoom, and if they have any questions, we'll just talk it through. I mean, basically.
Are they going to need to raise their hand, or how is that going to work? Like, how's
well, you can
how
raise you your hand on Zoom.
Now I know. Like, yeah. How are you going to keep it organized and orderly? And how are you going to keep people from going over, like, a certain, like, being the ball hogs?
Well, I mean, I do that in the podcast all the time, right?
You start the music playing, you cut them off.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, on the podcast, sometimes people go off for 10 minutes, I'll just interrupt them. And I mean, I'm okay. used to doing that, basically.
Okay. So, you're used to interrupting?
I'm used to interrupting podcast guests. Yes, actually. I mean, this is an experiment for me.
So the webinar is free, just like always.
Webinar is free. And then the VIP is if you want to spend some more time. And hopefully in that hour, and we keep this VIP small, we can have some pretty good conversations.
And how many days is the webinar and how many days is the VIP?
3 days webinar, 3 days VIP.
Okay. So you will still sell on your webinar.
I'm still going to sell on the webinar. That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm still going to answer some light questions on the webinar, but I've capped it this time at 75 minutes, so which usually is around 10 minutes of light Q&A. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people, and this is what happened last time with the heckler, right? People are sometimes afraid to ask questions. Mm-hmm. Right. And if you're having a conversation, it's much more easy for me to actually extract the question from somebody so I can answer it. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully if it's like a small, intimate environment, just like the way we run masterminds, people are just be more willing to reveal more about themselves or ask mm-hmm. the questions that they want to ask.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. I mean, it's the wild, wild west, right? I'm doing this for the first time and we'll just see how it goes. I'm going to have
the VIP get anything else. What else do?
They
get?
Do.
They get the 3 days of Q&A. 3 days of Q&A?
3 days of Q&A.
Okay. You're going to be exhausted.
Well, I mean, they don't have to come back. They don't want to.
No, you're going to be exhausted.
Oh, am I going to be exhausted? No, no, no. It's just like recording a podcast episode.
with 100 of your best friends.
It's like doing a consult. We do those all the time, except it's just going to be with a lot of people. They get one of my other workshops, the print-on-demand one, which I've kind of sunsetted. Mm-hmm. So that's great content, actually. That's gotten rave reviews. And then the last thing they get is access to the replays.
Okay.
For as long as they like. Usually the replays expire on like 2 days after the webinar is over.
Yeah.
Which I think is a pretty good offering for what I'm charging.
Yeah. So they get access to the recordings forever.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think they're signing up mainly for the conversations, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people have really in-depth questions. Here's what's funny. Like, you know how we give away those consults in a contest every time we do this? Those people that win the consults, I almost never see them ask questions on the live chat. Mm-hmm. Or if they do, they just ask one question. But when I get them one-on-one, like they have all these questions. I'm like, hey, why didn't you ask these on the live chat? And she's like, you know, it's a big group. I didn't think you'd see the questions or it would fly by, or I didn't want to type out my entire question.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So this has already gone out. You've already started promoting this webinar. Have you gotten any pushback on the VIP?
No. Not at all.
You're like, no, please.
Well, I mean, what pushback would you expect?
I don't know, because normally, I mean, one of our branding points is that we stay on till all the questions are answered. That's ours. I don't know exactly how you do for a profitable online store.
I never make that statement in profitable online store, although I try to answer all the questions, but like I do that on the last day typically, actually.
Yeah.
Not the first 2 days, because my first 2 days are quite beefy lectures, actually. It's easily me talking for like almost 60 minutes, 70 minutes.
Yeah. And do you think you're going to... So another thing that I'm curious about, because we do this in our webinars, and I think you do this in yours, is that we answer questions throughout the webinar. So we don't just answer questions at the end. We usually take... Because you and I switch back and forth for presenting during the one period of time. And when... So I'll do like 5 minutes and then there's a natural break. We usually take questions and then you go on and you do a 5 to 10 minute thing and we go back and forth. During those breaks, we answer questions. Obviously, if you want people to pay to upgrade to get that more question time, are you not going to do something like that in the webinar?
I'm not going to make a conscious effort to do anything. I'm just going to go with the flow, Tony. Like if there's a question that's relevant to what I'm talking about that I can just clear up really quickly, I'm going to do so. But if it's a question that's completely orthogonal to what I'm talking about, that goes off on a complete tangent, probably won't answer that question.
Was orthogonal an SAT word or
You've never used that word before.
I have not.
Okay.
I have not. I'll be Googling it after we get off. Can I pay $97 and get in the Q&A so I can find out what that word means? So that's one of the things that I actually felt like was really powerful about the webinar that we watched last week. Was that they did not answer a single question during the webinar, not one. They asked questions during the webinar. So they said things like, we're going to cover these three topics today or these three subsets. Which one are you most excited about or which one are you struggling with? They would ask questions like that. So people were interacting in the comments. They also did some giveaways, things like that. But not one question was answered during the webinar, and throughout the webinar, it was not in a salesy way, but it was definitely clear that if you had questions, you were going to get them answered in the VIP.
Hmm. Interesting. I didn't feel that way. I mean, they didn't answer any questions, but I thought it was done in a manner that, mainly because the chat was just flying by, right?
Yes.
There's no way you could even see a question in there.
No, but people were asking questions in the chat, and it was like they didn't exist. And I don't say that in a negative way. It was just very clear that this was a presentation. And the way that the back and forth occurred was through, tell me where you're from.
Right.
Tell me what service provider are you using? What this? Like there were questions asked of the attendees that got the chat constantly moving. Or things like the webinar host would make a point and they'd say, you know, if you agree with that, give me a high five, an amen, a thumbs up.
Yeah.
You know, there would be stuff. So there was always movement in the chat, and there were always questions coming in the chat, but they were never addressed because it was very clear that the questions could be asked in the Facebook group or in the VIP.
I think the way I'm going to handle this is if it's a question that's relevant, that's kind of like a quick answer, then I'm going to answer it. If it's an in-depth question that requires me to like go off on a tangent sometimes that I do for like 5 minutes when I answer questions, probably not going to do that one.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to be more interactive with the audience, which means that more people are going to be responding to the live chat. If I just happen to see the question, because I'm not going to actually have time to scroll up on the live chat, mm-hmm. right, as I'm talking. So if I just happen to see a question that's relevant and I can answer quickly, then I will probably answer it. I'm going to do like a hybrid. I'm just going to go with what feels right at the time, really.
Oh, we don't operate on feelings, Steve.
We don't?
Where have you been? Okay. Where have you been? So here's what I would like to do for, I want to see how yours works.
Yeah, great.
let's be honest. Let's see if it crashes and burns.
So my conditions for this one are bad too, because one, again, I'm starting on a Monday, mm-hmm. mainly because I'm traveling next week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the only time I could do it. So I don't even have as much time to promote this one. So we'll see how it goes. I think it'll go fine, personally.
So here's my ideal webinar world, what I would like to do. First of all, we'd stick with one topic. I read off the list. I don't care which one we do. We can do all. You know, we're capable of doing any of those. I would like to have our slides done by my graphic designer. Because the one thing that I did notice in the webinar we watched last week, in other webinars that I've seen, and actually in some of the Seller Summit presentations, is that the slides do matter a lot. And I think our slides are not bad. They're not poorly done. We've put thought into them. It's not like we just threw them together. But I liked the cohesiveness of the slide deck that I saw last week. It just was well branded. It was concise, super high level, but that's okay because the slides were high level and then the host talked through a lot of the points on the slides. So I think it feels better, honestly, to have a cohesive slide deck done by a designer. I mean, and honestly, you don't need a designer. You can do them in Canva, right? I just happen to have a designer on retainer.
Interesting. I'm not affected by slides. I mean, unless they're ugly.
Yeah.
Like...
I can give you an example of someone from Seller Summit. No.
No, but if the slides are ugly, yeah. But if they're like, I think ours are fine. It's really about the delivery. Like this person that we just watched,
mm-hmm.
if that person's slides were just kind of plain, like let's say it was just all white background, mm-hmm. I think it would have been okay.
Agreed.
But that's just the person's brand though, right?
Yes.
It's almost like, if you start out that way, then everything that you ever do has to be beautiful. Would you agree with that?
Sort of. But I do think I don't think it's as important for a profitable online store, but I think for a profitable audience, really we're teaching people how to brand themselves. And so we need to be a better brand. That's my thought behind that.
Okay.
So, I mean, this doesn't affect you in any way. So we can check that box.
Let me ask you this on the slides thing. Given presentation versus slides, how would you weight the importance of each?
I think slides are just as important.
Really? As so 50-50.
Because you're fighting people for their attention on a computer screen when they're doing 10 other things.
Wow. I would give it 80-20.
Okay. And one of the things that I thought this presenter did really well was, okay, everybody, stop multitasking. Come back to me. Stop multitasking. I need all your attention. This point's really important. There were things like that throughout the whole webinar, which I thought, because I was multitasking the entire time, right? But when they said that, I immediately went back and paid attention because I thought, well, this is going to be good. I don't want to miss it.
Right. So you're proving my point. Like the presenter should be 80% of it.
But I don't want to look at ugly slides. And usually the slides are the biggest thing.
Sure. Okay. Let's move on.
Okay. Yeah. So I think the slides need to be better. I think the content on the slides can stay the same. I just think it needs to be, prettier. The other thing that I actually really liked about this webinar is it was at lunchtime.
Lunchtime for you.
Lunchtime for me. Yes.
Right. So it would be 9 a.m. for me, right?
Yes. I don't like doing webinars at 5 p.m. I don't think anybody on the East Coast wants to watch a webinar at 5 p.m.
What's ironic about that statement mm-hmm. is that people ask for me to do it later because they want to be off work to watch it.
Yes.
So you don't like 5 p.m., but I've gotten so much feedback that they prefer me do it at 6 p.m. or 7 p.m.
Which time zone, though? I mean, 7 p.m. is like 2 a.m. in England.
6 p.m. West Coast time, 9 p.m. Yeah. East Coast time.
Yeah, heck to the no. Never going to happen.
Right. Which, you know, I've been doing them based on my own schedule, but I've actually mm-hmm. considered going back to, I used to do them at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day. So I'd switch between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. And for some reason, I ended up at 2 p.m. now.
You're like, I switched between two different times.
I don't remember how that happened, actually. Because it was convenient for me.
I would like to, so I don't think we can change everything at once, but I would like to experiment with different times. The other thing that I think, which to me is, I totally want to do, is the webinars were 45 minutes.
Well, that's easy to do.
Well, it's not for us. Our webinars are 2 hours.
Well, it's because we have the Q&A and everything. Making it 45 minutes is easy. Like, I've had certain webinars that take like 60 minutes, including the Q&A. You're just anyway, chatty, I woman.
But the slides from beginning to end took 45 minutes.
Sure. Yes.
Which I actually liked, as someone who was watching the webinar, that I was only committing to 45 minutes. It's like, okay, I can do 45 minutes. You know, I literally sat in front of my computer one day and ate lunch and watched it.
Right.
So I liked the 45 minutes and commitment to that. And then I think the paid Q&A VIP is actually really important. Like, I think that's the model that I want to test. That's like my priority testing.
Sure. Yep. I have it all set up now, actually. Yeah. So we can easily do it.
Although I don't love the have everybody on a big kumbaya circle on Zoom. But
yeah, we'll see. I mean, I might just change it over to StreamYard, actually.
Yeah. Can you give me a coupon code so I can sign up for free and just check it out?
I don't know. Might have to make you pay. You know, here's the thing with the Zoom. I'm going to go in prepared. Like, I'm going to have a list of questions, of the most commonly asked questions that I get asked.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start out with that. And then I'm going to go around. And then I'm going to solicit questions also ahead of time.
Yeah.
In case people are shy to speak up.
Yes, because that was the one thing. There was a Google form to submit questions in advance, which is helpful because sometimes even in that smaller group, people are still intimidated to ask a question.
Right. And that's actually one of the autoresponder sequence emails after you sign up for VIP.
And I think, too, another thing to think about just with bringing it, like, if I knew I had to be on camera, I wouldn't probably sign up.
Well, you don't have to have your camera on.
Okay.
Right? I mean, it's Zoom.
Yeah.
Turn off, it's just voice. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing different about this than just like a regular conversation or a consult that you might have. I think that's an artifact of your personality, because we have people on our consults where it looks like they just rolled out of bed.
Nobody ever looks like that on our consults. They all are beautiful people, Steve.
Okay, maybe I'm talking about myself.
Okay, but here's the thing. Yeah. For me personally, if I knew that I had to be on camera, I probably wouldn't. I liked the VIP. I liked listening to the questions. If I had a question, I would have submitted it via the form. I didn't have any desire to come on camera. I have no problem coming on camera, as you know. I love the spotlight, of course. But I also know that, like, one of the times I watched the Q&A at the beach over the weekend. So I sure as heck didn't want to be on camera as I'm sitting there in my beach chair. So yeah, that's the only part where I thought was interesting, how they brought the people on that had, like, they answered the questions that were submitted ahead of time, and then they brought people on to ask questions who volunteered. So not everybody had to be on camera the whole time. That's the only thing that I'm saying, is that people might be in their car. You just don't know how people are watching it.
Yeah. So the way I'm going to run it, and I have I have like at least 4 days to figure this out, is that everyone's going to be muted when they come on. I'm going to go on and just give, like, you know, the most commonly asked questions, and maybe just do some questions that were submitted.
Yeah.
And then I'll go around and ask if anyone has any questions. If I have to, I can actually probably talk for the full hour. But I don't think it's going to be like that. I really don't. I think once we get one person talking, and depending on how many people actually show up, we can either go in depth on that one person or, you know, switch around. Like, for the consults that I have, I never have any problems talking to a person for, you know.
That is a lie.
What, for a one-on-one consult?
We have had one or two consults that have been very difficult.
But not where we've had problems talking for the entire half hour.
Well, we don't have problems, but we've had problems soliciting them to talk.
Sure, sure.
But yes. Okay, so let's do this. When are we recording this? I don't even know when it is. Middle of May. Our next webinar is going to follow some part of this. It's probably going to have to be implemented in phases. I think phase one is going to be the paid VIP. So that's step one. You're trying it out next week, unless it crashes and burns, and then we're going to completely not even publish this podcast. And
it's not going to crash and burn. It might be awkward.
I know. I'm joking.
Like, if people don't sign up, it might get awkward, but it is what it is. I mean, if a lot of people don't sign up, then I get a lot of one-on-one time or whatever with whoever does sign up. So
why? Well, it's honestly, in the customers' best interest to have fewer people sign up because they get a better experience.
That's correct.
I know in the VIP that I was in last week, I don't even know how many people were in that thing. 500, 1,000?
No way, that many?
I mean, because when she asked who wants to raise their hand to come on camera, immediately there were like 90 plus people that raised their hands, because you can see that on Zoom. Like, I couldn't see how many people were on, but I could see who raised their hands. So you figure, like, not everybody on the Q&A wants to be on camera to ask their question. So let's just say even 25% of those people, that's still 400 people.
Okay, that's nuts.
Right? I mean, I would say, like, how many percentage of people are going to want to come on camera versus the entire group? 10%, 20%, even 50%, that's 200 people on, right?
Yeah.
And every day there were that many people raising their hands, 97, 98. It was all like in the 90s.
Okay, that's crazy. I would definitely cap it. Here's the thing. here's my goal.
More money. No, I'm just kidding.
I feel like if I can talk to someone one-on-one, yes, they're going to join the class. That's just my experience. Actually, even with Bumblebee Linens, if I can get a bride on the phone, I'm going to sell her some hankies.
Like, she will be marrying me by the end of that phone call.
There's like a 95% probability I'm going to close that sale.
Yeah.
So that's okay. Yeah, I'm using it, one, for the benefit of the people coming on. Also, you know, it's kind of like that salesperson that I was talking about, right? I'm not going to sell, but just in answering someone's questions and making them confident about getting started, people are much more likely to join the full class.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.